Okay, let's get started. Hi, welcome to this session about search-driven publishing. My name is Helge. I'm a PM in the FAST team in Oslo. I work on SharePoint Search and also on codename Oslo. Some of you might remember that from the keynote yesterday.
Yeah.
Sounds like some people remember that. That's great. I thought I'd start by telling you just a little bit about FAST in the past. When we were acquired by Microsoft 5 years ago, we had a product we called Enterprise Search Platform, ESP. We actually still have that platform in the market. It's on extended support until 2018. But that product really was a very different product from what we have today. We focused on those customers that were willing to spend a lot of time and effort customizing search. Actually, we didn't even ship a search box out of the box. We didn't give any search box at all. We said, just here's a bunch of APIs, get started. Today, we have search in Exchange and SharePoint, and we provide very good search experiences right out of the box. And in addition, what we're gonna show you here today is how we can create search solutions with search-driven publishing, in addition, based on what we have in SharePoint.
Yeah. Great, thanks, Helge. My name's Alex. I'm a dev on Helge's team. And let's just jump right into it. I think you guys know about the content search web part, a lot of you. We're super excited that we finally got the thing shipped in October. Very happy. There's a lot of Twitter buzz about it. It was really fun to watch it. I was gonna say it's never been a product I've worked on where there's been Twitter buzz, except yesterday we announced Codename Oslo, and there was so much buzz. What do you guys think about Codename Oslo, by the way? Yeah? Yeah. It's great. So we're also gonna give away some of this Norwegian chocolate called Quick Lunch. some of you guys are familiar, I think, with Quick Lunch. Norway's an awesome country. I moved there about a year ago. And the Norwegians, when they go on, you know, these long skiing trips or long hiking trips, they have a lunch that's, you know, a piece of frozen bread and a piece of cheese, and then a quick lunch. So it's part of the culture. Helga's grown up on it. It's very delicious. So our first quiz, super simple. We had this Office 365 announcement. These are the statistics for October from the blogs. So who can identify which blog post was the content search web part blog post? I need a hand. Yes, sir. The top one, yes, here you go. So anyway, we are really super excited. Of course, it's the top one. There's been a whole lot of buzz. We're here to talk about, you know, what's new in SharePoint Online? How is it different than what you guys have been playing with in the on-prem version? You want to take it away?
Right, so the agenda we have for you today is we're gonna take a look at search-driven publishing in general, what that actually means. Then we're gonna dive a bit more into the content search web part. We're gonna take a look at display templates, the search schema we have in search. Then we're gonna look at actually which exact features are available in SharePoint Online today and going forward. Then we have a small surprise for you, a group cache mechanism that's brand new, gonna be shown for the first time today. And then finally, we're gonna wrap up with lots of best practices for using the content search web part. And the two key takeaways we have for you today, we listed at the bottom here. The content search web part is available for SharePoint Online, in SharePoint Online for intranet scenarios, and we have this new caching mechanism that will improve your page load times. Okay, so what is the search-driven publishing model? Well, it's about driving your publishing or your content, your experiences through search based on all the contents you have in your various SharePoint installations. And in practice, that means you create some kind of web page. That web page has a built-in query or more than one query. And when a user loads that page, the search runs behind the scenes, and whatever results is produced from that search is displayed on the page. The user doesn't really have to know there was search involved here, he just sees this nice web page, and the next time he's there, he might see the exact same content or something new, depending on what's happened in the search index in the meantime. So let's actually take a look at what this could look like for an intranet scenario. So we're gonna switch to our first small demo here. This is the intranet page of Contoso. Anyone heard of Contoso? Yeah, great. Anyone here working for Contoso? No. That's good. So Contoso is a demo company used for all kinds of purposes in Microsoft. They have an online store. They are a bank. They're also a university.
I graduated from Contoso.
You did?
Yeah. It was great. All the courses were fake. I didn't have to do any homework.
That explains a lot. Okay, great. So today we're going to have a look at their internet. And this is an R&D organization here. They're like a high-tech company today. They've set up a typical SharePoint internet here with, you know, department sites, employee services, the IT web, what you do when you're a new employee. They also have a search box up here, and they have like a message from the president. So when you boot up here, this is what you see. You see the message, you see some news, you see some useful links and stuff. It's very typical, typical internet. And what we think is the problem with this internet, or this way of setting up a start page, is it's very static. So if I wanted to change the news here, I'd actually have to go in here and edit the page, because these news items are just listed on this page. And you know, when somebody actually wants something new on the front page here, they don't really want to call their web editor to do that. They want to be able to edit that news in a much simpler way. So what we've done is we created this alternative version, which is this one, which contains a lot of the same information, but it's now search-driven. So let's go through what we have put up on here. We put, of course, the message from the president. That's mandatory. We have a slideshow here with some promoted news. So this carousel shows three promoted news. And if you get more news, it will show the three freshest news items. Then we show the rest of the news in a smaller list down here. And then we have two other web parts that show something maybe more interesting, which is also driven by search. We show the most popular documents in this tenancy. So that means when I go in here, I'll see trending documents in my company. And since we're using search, this is obviously then security trimmed, so I only see things I actually have access to. So if I'm a member of the HR department, I might see some HR documents here. Since I'm not, I don't. So that's really the power of search here in a very simple way on this web page. And the last part here, we call it My Stuff. That's documents that I've been working on recently. So this is a very quick way for me to come back to some things I've been working on. You can just consider it like an MRU. And on this page here, if I want to create some news, I'll just simply go into the news list. So we have a SharePoint list with the news items. To get something new in here, I'll just type in here. I need to click the button. And I'll say, you know, Alex, you're going to TechEd too, aren't you?
Yeah, I think it's in Houston, right?
It's in Houston. So Mr. Alexander Pope is going to TechEd. So I think that's really nice.
Can I wear my funny hat?
Absolutely. I mean, when we get the Pope to TechEd, I think that's kind of cool. We got the president here yesterday. So we're all looking forward to having the Pope at TechEd. But now that I've edited this item, it won't show up immediately. That's maybe only the little small catch here, because we have to wait for search to actually index this item before it shows up.
But once it shows up in the index, we'll see it on the homepage.
Absolutely. So we don't need to go in and actually edit that page, right? Hopefully it's actually quicker, that crawl, than calling the web editor. Mm. Okay, so that was a little bit about how we see the content search web part and search driven publishing used for internet pages and internet scenarios. So when it comes to search driven publishing, I'd like to point out that we have made it possible to reuse your content in different ways using search. So now, when you're a content editor, when you own something, let's say you're responsible for all the news in your company, for example, you don't really have to care about how this is supposed to be presented. You don't edit your HTML. You just edit the news in the authoring tool you want to use. And then it's somebody else's responsibility, or maybe it's yours as well, to actually create a publishing portal where this is published. And in the middle here, we have search, and you get all the power of search. So you get the scaling and performance. You don't need to worry about, oh, we suddenly reach some kind of magical limit on the number of news items, and suddenly it doesn't work or it's too slow. It's searched, it works, it will scale, don't worry about it. And also, you get access, when you create the publishing portal, you get access to all the content in the company. You don't need to worry about the information architecture, for example. I know some companies have put a lot of thinking into their information architecture, and yet there will be situations where you want to look at it from a different angle. And with search, you can easily just pick up the content you need from different site collections all across.
So it doesn't matter where your content lives in your tenant, you can always get access to it through search.
Absolutely. As long as the user using the page has access to the content, you'll see it in search. So let's dig into a little bit more detail here on this figure. So on the left-hand side, on the content side, you can have your content in document libraries or lists in SharePoint. You can use all the nice versioning capabilities, approval workflows, whatever you need there when you're doing your content editing. And the data flow here is pretty easy to describe, I say. We have to get content from the content store into the search index. So there's a process called the crawler, which runs inside search, and it basically continuously looks for changes. So it'll just go and check the document libraries all the time, and whenever there's a change, it'll send it into document processing. And in document processing, we crack open the documents and we parse them. So we have different parsers for different document formats, and we basically extract all the text from the documents, because the text, that's what we want to have inside the index. We also do other things like entity extraction. We detect the language. We do different kind of magic like that, and it all goes into the index. So that's sort of on the left-hand side of this figure. Then on the right-hand side, whenever a user loads a page, this page, if it contains the content search web part, the content search web part contains a query. So that query will be sent to search through query processing, and the search index will evaluate that query and return results. And then on the way back, the display templates that are configured in the content search web part, they say to the system how to render those results. Should we pick the first result and only show that? Do we only show text or show some images? That's part of the display template, and then the whole page renders to the user, and the user, he might be completely ignorant that there was actually search going on. He don't need to care about that.
We have this box called Analytics. Do you want to talk a little bit about that in Codename Oslo?
Absolutely. So with the Office graph you saw in the keynote yesterday, that's powered by analytics. So we do a lot of big data analysis, and that's the same technology as we're using in SharePoint Search today. So this analytics component, that's a component that runs large batch jobs. It looks at not only documents, but also the usage data. So whenever a user in SharePoint opens a document, we log that. And then we can generate counts, like how many users have been actually looking at this particular document the last 24 hours. And we can put that back into the search index. So when we run the search, we can get some of that analytics goodness and take that into account. So we're going to have a look at that later in our example. So if you go and look at the value prop for search-driven publishing, it's really about having authoring and publishing be two separate parts. Let the author of something worry about the content, and then let someone else worry about how this is to be presented to user, and maybe also reuse the same contents for different purposes. We've seen lots of good examples where companies have a product database, or a list of products, and they expose that on their public website. And then internally, they have an intranet where they use the exact same products, but they annotate with additional information like internal discussions, internal support information, technical details that they don't want to have on their public site, but that they have internally. And in that case, they use search-driven publishing to have the same information go out to two different experiences. The way you create pages gives you also a lot of freedom, because you as a page creator, you don't worry so much about how to edit the content, but you worry about what you want to show. And for that, we use something called a query builder, and how you show it, which is through display templates. And then finally, the power of search, analytics and recommendations, as we talked about. As we develop more and more on Office, the Office graph, you'll get more of that available through this search-driven publishing as well. Scaling and performance is something that's really working well. Whether you have 10 or 100 or 100,000 documents, it doesn't really matter. And search goes across site collection boundaries, so you don't need to worry that hard about the information architecture. And what I really like is whenever something is updated, it's updated on your page, so you don't need to go through that, oh no, I haven't updated my web page, even though I added that list into some list item, or I added that news item, I mean, into a list. You always get the fresh results on the page. Okay, and then when we shipped SharePoint 2013, we did not ship search-driven publishing in SharePoint Online. And we can be honest enough to admit that was a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a bummer.
So.
It was the most requested feature, actually, that was missing in SharePoint Online. And we've heard this a couple of times from our managers, I guess, that we need to get our grip together and get this out to you in SharePoint Online. So in October, as we saw in the beginning here, we finally got the content search web part and cross-site publishing turned on in SharePoint Online for internet scenarios. And when we talk about search-driven publishing, there are three more features that you want to be using or that you might want to be using in relationship with this. And that's those features are currently only on-premises. That's the taxonomy refinement panel web part, faceted navigation, which is very much related to that refinement web part, and a template called the product catalog site collection template. So to explain why these things aren't currently turned on, as it turned out, the two first of these features, they had an implementation that didn't really work well in multi-tenant environments. So when you had one company, like on-premises, it worked fine. With a couple of companies, it also works fine. But when we have hundreds of thousands of companies using the same infrastructure, it doesn't really work that well. So we have to rewrite this code simply. And that's why we haven't turned it on yet. When it comes to the last feature here, the product catalog site collection template, that's a very much a product-centric public sites template. So we actually decided to wait with turning this thing on because we don't think it would provide much value together with the other two features here for intranet scenarios.
And you can do everything the site collection does just manually. You can create a catalog, you can create result sources, you can do all that goodness. We just don't ship it in a nice bundle for you, because it's aimed at the product public facing scenario.
Yeah, that's right. So, but what I'd like to point out is when you use search-driven publishing, you then can now use the first two features in SharePoint Online for intranets, and you can use all the other search features we have. Query rules, display templates, rank models, managed navigation, the search schema, all that. It's all available in SharePoint Online. Okay, but since we now turned on two of these features, we need to talk about them, right? So the content search web part is a web part, as the name implies. And that means you can, on any SharePoint web page, you can edit the web page and click insert, and then you'll find this web part under content rollup, content search. So that's how you get this web part on your page. And then there are two main things you need to do. The first is you define, maybe I should zoom in just a little bit here. I don't think so. I'll show this later. American keywords are difficult. Sorry about that. You want to define what content you want to show on your page. So for that, you use the query builder, which is on the upper right-hand side here. So you basically define your query. That can be done in a couple of different modes. You can either type in a query explicitly, or you can use result sources and other mechanisms, which means you don't actually have to type in a real query. So that's to define what content you want back. And the other thing is you need to define how this should be displayed. So you refer to two display templates. The first display template, the control template, defines the overall layout. So it defines whether you want to show just one result, and maybe you want to show it as a slideshow, or whether you want to show a grid of results or a list of results. That's the control template. And then the item template defines how each of these items are actually shown in place. So those two templates play together, and you just refer to them from your content search web part. Which leads us to display templates. So we ship a number of basic display templates out of the box. Some people think they're great. Some people don't.
They could be better.
It's a matter of opinion. They provide a very good starting point for different scenarios. And we just showed some examples here of some customers that customized the out-of-the-box display templates with different fonts, different colors, different look and feel. And since this is all HTML5 JavaScript, it's no rocket science to actually go in and do this.
Yeah, it's a much better environment than using XSLT, for example, from the content by query web part. This is a much nicer technology.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and we've been dry running this presentation a number of times, and I've been working a lot with the search schema in the past, and I thought, well, we don't need to tell you about that. But it actually turned out we need to tell you about it. Because if you want to use the content search web part, you also need to understand how data comes into the index and how you can change that. So when you have different types of content, that content have different aspects and different attributes. So for example, a Word document will have a file name and a title. An email will have a subject. But those are basically more or less the same thing. So we call those aspects of documents in the content store, we call those for crawl properties. And then on the indexing side, we work with managed properties. So as this figure shows, what we have in the index, those we call managed properties. So there we have more user-friendly names as well, like author, title, last modified. And if you've ever gone into schema management in SharePoint, you can see that you can, for the managed properties, you can see the different definitions of attributes there. So for example, the author managed property, that's a queryable, searchable, retrievable, and sortable property. What that means is, queryable means you can actually, in your query, specify the value you're searching for has to be in the author field. So you can say author, colon, and something. That's only if it's queryable you actually can do that. Searchable means it's been put in this large box of text. So you can query for a author like Pope, and it would come back, but you couldn't say author, colon, Pope, unless it also was queryable. Mm. So that's the difference between queryable and searchable. And then retrievable means you can actually get the real value back. So if I query for Pope and I get a hit on the document, if the managed property is retrievable, I can get the whole value of it back with the result. So that's also important. And then finally sortable, that's more natural maybe, means you can easily sort your documents by this property. And some of these different attributes of the managed properties, they give us different costs in the index. So sortable properties, they're very expensive, for example.
So expensive from a disk perspective.
From a disk perspective and from a memory user's perspective. So, but what happens here is when the document is read by the crawler and it's sent in through content processing, the content processing also contributes with some crawl properties. And then we have a mapping table. So there's a mapping from crawl properties to managed properties. And what I actually show you here is all of the crawl properties I listed as examples here, those all map to the title property. So they are all different aspects of different content types. One is the file name, one is the subject on an email, one is actually the work title on a user from the user profile store, and all of these map into the title. So different types of content end up in the same managed property in the index. And that's simply how the system works and how we can fill up the index with good data.
And then from the content search web part, perspective or search in general, we always talk to managed properties.
Exactly.
We don't have to deal with crawled properties after content processing.
Exactly. So when you're working on the publishing side, you only deal with managed properties. That's all you need to care about. Unless you see that you don't actually have what you need in the index, then you need to figure out how to get the crawled properties into the index in the right way. But from the content search web part, it's always the managed properties that matter. Okay, so there's one mechanism in the search schema which we've received a number of questions about, and it's maybe hard to understand, and that's the automatic creation of properties we have. So basically, there are two mechanisms in play here. The first is list column. So if you, in your SharePoint list, create the column, what will happen during the next crawl is we'll add a crawl property for it, and then you can go into search schema and map that somewhere into managed property. If you, on the other hand, create a site column, we not only create the crawl property, we also create the manage property and the mapping in between. So then suddenly you have something directly in the index with a new name that you can query for and that you can get out.
So the easiest way, if somebody wants to do this, is to create a site column. And if they want a little more control, create a list column, and then they can control the mapping.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So just to sum this up a little bit, the crawl properties, they only exist on the crawler and content side into document processing. And then the managed properties are what's in the index and what we use when we query. And then finally, with SharePoint 2013, we introduced multiple schemas. So in SharePoint 2010, we only had one search schema. That's shipped out of the box at a farm level, and you could change it at a farm level. But with 2013, we wanted to give users more abilities, more possibilities for how to map these schemas and how to utilize all the good things you can do when you have new managed properties and so on. So what we did was we created this inheritance level. So the farm level schema is what ships out of the box. In SharePoint Online, Microsoft is the farm admin, so you don't, as customers, have access to that. However, what you do have is you have your tenant admin. So every tenancy in SharePoint Online can go into their schema and make changes at the tenant level. And then furthermore, at the site collection level, the site collection owners, they can go in and make further changes to the schema and override what was done at the tenant level. So typically what you want to do is you want to consider your enterprise search center at the tenant level. Like, what's the standard we want to have in our company? How do we want to make things available across all the site collection, across everything we have? That you define at the tenant level. And then at the site collection level, you don't centrally really bother what people are doing. You just allow the site collection owners to do whatever they want to read the schemas there. Okay, but as some of you have seen them, there are some limitations to what you can do at these certain different levels. And those limitations sound very hard when you hear them. You can only create managed properties of type text and Boolean, and you cannot create refinable or sortable managed properties. However, what you can do is you can create crawl and managed properties of these types, and you can remap mapping, so you can change which managed properties something maps into. And then, How can we actually use this? That's the big question. And the trick is, we shipped a lot of managed properties out of the box that we're not using. For example, refinable strings, 00, 01, 02, 03. We don't use those. They're for you to use. So if you want a refinable string, what you do is you map your crawl property into one of those existing unused managed properties. And then you create an alias, which is basically you rename it. So that's how you at the tenant level and also at the site collection level can basically get to use any managed property you want, even though you in the UI you're not allowed to create those expensive managed properties. But this is a mechanism we created in order to keep control of the size of the index, the memory usage, and all that. And it's beneficial both for SharePoint Online but also for on-premises installations, where the central admin can sort of define the memory footprint and the disk footprint, and all the site collections can define how they actually use this, these features they have gotten available. Actually, when we shipped this and I wrote the blog posting about schema, I got a lot of questions, why do we have so many managed properties? So I had to write a blog posting called, why are there so many managed properties? So hopefully
it answers the question.
Yeah. If you still have questions, come seek me out tomorrow at the Ask the Expert session. Okay, then the other feature we turned on now is called cross-site publishing. The concept here is that you have content in one environment or in one site collection and you push it to other site collections. So this sounds very much like the search-driven publishing concept in itself, but it's a very specific feature. You only use it when you use publishing site collections. And it's a way where you enable something as a catalog, then that list or document library shows up in another site collection. And you can get then automatically result sources and you can use those result sources to scope your queries down to that particular site collection. So this is a very specific mechanism, but it's available, and it's been very well documented through a series of blogs. So we are not going to actually show you anything with cross-site publishing, but instead suggest that you check out all the postings and documentation we have on this topic. But that was a lot of talking about search features. So now we're going to show you how we actually set up the intranet page we demoed before. So remember here, we had this web page. We have four content search web parts on it. And in order to get here, we will not start completely from scratch. We've been cheating a little bit. So we're going to start out with this one here. So here I put on three content search web parts. So there's one missing, and the other three don't really have the right configurations. We're going to fix that together. So let's just start then by editing the page. That's a good start. So remember, here we actually had a slideshow with the promoted news. So I click Edit Web Part, and that's how I then edit the content search web part. And that gives me this property list here. Should I zoom in? You guys in the back, can you actually read what's on there? Anyone in the back can read something? Please raise a hand.
I'll give you a quick lunch.
Okay, so with this web part here, what we need to do is we need to change the display template. So this is the slideshow template. And we're going to show a large picture here. And then in order to actually get the right image here,
click the checkbox. There you go.
Yeah. So what this display template does is it it uses managed properties to show different entities in different places. So to actually get this display template to use the right image, I have to say which managed property to use. So now we have a list column called image file name. So that's actually showing up here as image file name of WS text as the managed property. So that's the managed property that contains our file name. I put in alex.png here when I created the list item. So we just, in our list, have all these files. So when I click OK here now, I've chosen the right display templates, and I made the mapping to the managed property containing the file name, and that makes this display the right content.
You know, Helga. Oh, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, thanks.
You know, Helga, I just noticed, though, that the list item you added has already shown up.
Oh,
so it looks like the crawler went pretty quick.
And, yeah.
I think that picture is me being happy because I had a quick lunch.
Yes, so, probably. Yeah. Great, so that was the first web part. The second one is this popular one. So here.
Come on, SharePoint.
What this content search web part here is supposed to show is it's going to show the most popular documents in the company. So I'm going to change the query here. That opens up the query builder. Currently, it shows all documents within a certain path of file type, document, or Excel. I'll leave that as is for now. And then when it comes to sorting, what I really want here is I want the most popular ones. And there is a managed property in the index called views recent. This one contains the number of views of this particular document the last 14 days. So that's something that's updated nightly by analytics. And we can just sort by this property. And what that actually gives us then is the most popular documents shown on top here, the last 14 days. So since it's a 14-day window, this will change every now and then. And it's a quite nice way to expose useful information in the company. And then finally, we're going to actually put in a content search web part from scratch. So insert web part. So this is what we had on our slide. Did I actually click? The content rollup, content search, and press add. So that inserts a new content search report. That's how you do it when you start from scratch on a page. And then once we've done that, the content search report is actually set up with some query as an example and some display templates, but they are not gonna actually show what I wanna show. Because what I wanna have in here is I wanna have my stuff. So I wanna have documents that I have been working on. So let's see how I can do that. Did I lose? No, I didn't. Great, so I'm gonna edit this report. I'm gonna change the query. It's a little bit tempting for me to, let's see if I zoom in here now, maybe it's easier to see. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna select the author here, and let's say that one contains my username. What do you think about that, Alex?
I don't, that's going to work.
You don't think so?
It's only going to be your stuff. It's not going to be my stuff.
Ah, okay. Hmm. Right, so this would only show my stuff. So what I have to do is I'll have to select something else here. So I'll select name of the user who runs the query. So that's like this. So this is now a parameterized query instead. So it will take the active user and his username in the query. So that's nice. I also want to create another limitation here. I want to have the file type being only one of a couple, like documents I want to have PowerPoints in here, and Excel files. I know you'd like some C# files or something, Alex, but
yeah.
Sorry.
My code lives in Source Depot.
Okay. So if I do this, I can actually test the query here with the test query button. And we see I get some results back. They're not exactly rendered in an elegant fashion, but you get the results, so we can actually see what this query turns out to be. And if you look back at this query here, what's kind of funny is the author is kind of ANDed with the other values here. So I'll only get documents where I'm the author, but I'll get documents with either DocX, PowerPoint, or Excel types. So implicitly, what's happening here is the query builder is actually doing like this, so it's putting an AND in there and an OR in between these. So that's because it's thinking, oh yeah, you probably want an AND here, and you, since you're listing multiple values of the same property, it doesn't make sense to AND them because you'd get nothing. So let's just make it OR. So there's some logic in here, but if you want to be explicit, you can always just type it in like that, and then that's gonna give us the same results here. Okay, so that was the query. So we have all the results we want. We need to define how to show them. So we're gonna show 8 of these. We're gonna show them in a list. I think we'll show 2 lines for each of them. And then we'll call this my stuff. And then we can set the Chrome to be, we'll show the title. And that should be it. So then we defined very quickly the query, what to show, and which display templates to show. So then we have my stuff. We still have the text. Could be easily taken out, but what I have now is I have very quick access to some of the most recent documents that I've been working on. I could also, to make this better, I could change the sorting here to be the modified date. So if I show the ones that were most recently modified, I just sort by the last modified date managed property. Okay, but that was the demo. And that leaves us to the features we have available. So as we already said, when we shipped 2013, we only made these features available on premises. And then in October, we turned the features, first two features, the content search report and cross-site publishing, on for intranet sites for basically the enterprise SKUs. We also have something called SharePoint Dedicated, where really large customers are hosted one customer in a single farm. So that's sort of almost an on-premise installation, but we're hosting it. All of those customers have these features available, but they have to request for them through this specific change request I've listed at the bottom of the table. And then for the rest here, the best I can tell you, it's they're coming later. So we are working on this. We want to provide you these very nice features as quickly as we can. But as you all know, priorities change and we can't really commit to dates here. You'd set a project and we'd be sort of really bad when we don't ship that exact date we've been saying. So, but this is something we're working extremely hard on to get these features out, both for internet sites, the features that are missing, and for public sites. Okay, and with that, we'll go over to some more details.
Yeah, I think when a dev starts talking, it's more technical, right? This is where we go.
It's automatically happening.
Yes. So how many of you guys know about the stuff Helga just talked about? Have you used on-prem stuff? Yeah, so like half the room, that's awesome. I don't have that many quick lunches, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I need to give more away though. So really what we're doing here is in October, we shipped the Content Search Web Part. And there are some implications about being in the cloud versus being on-prem, in addition to the features not being there. It is a different environment. Your setup is slightly different. There's implications of being hosted on our servers instead of your own. So let's walk through a few of these. So the first thing is we own the hardware. And if we can just be honest with you guys, one of the big reasons we kept this stuff out of SharePoint Online is because there's a finite query capacity. And we're in a multi-tenant environment. We don't want one tenant, you know, using all the query capacity, and so other people can't search. So what we've done in the last year, why it took a year for us to get to this point, is we've been scaling out our search farm. Bjorn, I think you said we had 2,000 servers now or something, so it's a huge scale that's running search in SharePoint Online. And so it took a little bit of a time for us to, you know, get onboarded, scale out, and that's why it took a year for us to get this stuff on. In addition, we run the search service. As Helga mentioned, you're the tenant admin, you're not the farm admin. So that has some implications on the search schema, but it also has implications on the crawler. We set the crawler schedule. I'll talk a little bit more about the crawler and what continuous crawl is a little bit later. In addition, constant fixes, new functionality. You guys are probably used to that if you're already on SharePoint Online. Additionally, there's no managed code in SharePoint Online. Fortunately, Search has this great extensibility story with search apps, with display templates. We have the REST API, we have CSOM. There's not a lot of, you know, need to go write managed code. So no full trust code. Use display templates, use SharePoint apps. There's a lot of sessions this week on how to create display templates, how to write a search SharePoint app. So use that stuff. And then, of course, we're in the cloud. Hands-off reliability. A big one for you guys is you don't have to worry about index capacity. We know this is a concern for some of you guys on-prem of you have to plan for how much data you're going to have. And then last but not least, user-to-server latency is typically higher unless you're on a big multi-country environment. Typically, a server is sitting pretty close to you in the cloud. We're a little bit farther away. We can't break the speed of light, so.
Yeah, actually, the demo I've been showing you is running in Amsterdam.
Oh.
Because I provisioned it from Oslo, and that was the closest server at the time.
So that's why it's a little slow today. That's a bummer.
Well, but it works.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about each of these. The finite query capacity is kind of an interesting one, where as we started to roll this out, we realized we had missed a gap in the intranet scenario, where as a page creator, you know that everyone's going to see the same content. In our Contoso intranet example, these are the news lists, right? Everyone has access to the news lists. There's no really big need to run the query over and over and over again every time somebody hits the page. So I was talking about caches is kind of boring, so I wrote a haiku. Search-driven is good, however, queries are slow. Solve it with a cache. Yeah, you can applaud. That's awesome, right? Yeah. How many devs at SharePoint Conference write haikus and put them in a slide? Not very many. I will say that our query guys hate that I call queries slow. But it's sort of a fact of life. Talking to the search index is just going to be slower because we're talking to more data than the content database.
And I don't think you need to quit your day job anyway. Start writing haikus instead.
But I have a dream, Helga. My English Lit course in Contoso was not very good. They didn't do a very good job of me. So what's the scenario behind this? So the scenario is you're the page creator of the Contoso intranet site. You know the news list it's going to change, and it's great that it's search-driven and it'll automatically change, but you don't need to execute that query for every user. All users are going to see the same content in a 15-minute span. So by caching it, we're actually able to speed up performance quite a bit. And this can be super helpful when you're designing a homepage, for example. If you have a 100,000-person company and your homepage is the default homepage for everyone's browser, you know, that page really needs to be quick. It would really be a bummer if it took 20 seconds to load this page, even though it has all this great search-driven content. Yes. Yeah. So how we do this is we use your existing security groups. We use an Active Directory group that has access to your specific content. And then all users, when they go to the page, will be authenticated as part of the group, and then we execute the query as the group. So for example, if the everyone group has access to your content, you can say that, and then everyone is a member of everyone. So it'll execute the query as part of that. So this removes some of the special ACK lane we do with individual user queries. We're no longer seeing content that's tailored to you, we're seeing content that's tailored to a security group. So let's see how this works. I'm gonna switch places, Helga.
Yeah.
So I'm back here at our page, and I hate that there's this text here, so I'm gonna delete it.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's so, what we have devs for, cleaning up for after PMs.
Yeah, that's a bug. I just fixed the bug today.
Thank you.
So we're at the news list, the news web part. I'm gonna go in and edit. And we'll go to Amsterdam, and then we'll come back from Amsterdam, hopefully. Come on,
yeah,
do
before
it.
Before the Pope is going to TechEd, he's free to actually set up something closer.
Yeah. Maybe Chicago. Chicago's closer to Houston.
Absolutely.
So we're going to go into the Query Builder. You set this property on the Query Builder, and it's on a content search web part specific basis. And this is really because you have to know what's all executing your query. We thought about putting it on like a result source layer, but really you need to know what specific query you're running to make sure it's authenticated correctly.
Yeah, so I guess we could have a quiz now, Alex.
Oh, yes, we should have a quiz.
Yeah, anyone who can see something that's new on this page, something they haven't seen before?
Caching.
Oh, that's a lot of...
Well, it's someone there, so I'm just going to throw. Oh, whew. Do we have medical insurance for people? So I'm going to zoom in here with this Norwegian keyboard that I don't know how to use. And I'll try everyone except external users. So this is one we think you guys will use a lot of. Let's go ahead and give it a test. And we didn't get any results. So that's a bummer. I swear it's not a bug. So let's go look at our news list, because we need to understand the permissions on this news list. We can go to shared with. And we can see that this list is shared with a bunch of individuals, but you don't see the everyone group, right? There's no everyone there. So the everyone group doesn't have permission to this list, so we're not returning any content. What we do have is, if I can scroll down, this news readers group. So I'm going to select that. This is a group I created in tenant admin. You could also sync it from your Active Directory environment. Now if we test, we'll see that we get results, which is great. So I'm going to do that. So that's how you set up the cache. Pretty easy.
What actually happened there when you run the test?
Yeah, so when you run the test, what happens is we go and we issue a search query, and the search query says, oh, you've got the special property on it that says, I want to run as this group. We send that group down to the search index, and we use that ACL information to determine which content we can return. And then we store it in Velocity Cache. If you're familiar with the anonymous cache for SharePoint 2013 on-prem, it's the same cache concept. Yep. Great. So a few best practices. We're to use this on your home pages, for your peak load scenarios. If you're going to have a 100,000-person company that hits the site over and over and over again, it's a really great thing to do. High traffic category pages, complex queries. What I mean by complex queries is it returns a lot of data. Returns a lot of data, or you know, maybe some refiners, stuff like that. We don't really need this used on your low user count tenants, your low traffic pages. Personalized queries don't work. So for example, the My Stuff query doesn't really make sense. Your stuff is ACL to you. So it doesn't make sense for Helga to hit the page, have his content cached, and then for me to get Helga's content. So don't use it there.
Would I be able to actually do that?
You would, but then it would be for a security group. You'd have to select a security group to use, and it's really hard to say which security group you would use. Mm-hmm. You could use everyone, but you probably have a lot of content that's ACLed only to you and not to everyone. So the content result would be worse as well.
Right, so I can trick the system into seeing some of your secret files?
No, you can't do that. otherwise, we'd be seeing Bill Gates' stuff. That wouldn't be good. So the next quiz, more quick lunch to give away, is which one of these tenants would we prefer the cache to be used on? The light blue one or the dark blue? Yes. Light blue, yes. Oh, you get some chocolate.
there you go.
That's great. The numbers here are fake. What we consider success is 10 queries in a 15-minute period. So that's roughly a 90% hit rate on the cache. And 15 minutes is important because that's actually the cache expiry.
So why do we want to have the cache on something that has a peak instead of something with a steady load?
Yeah, so if you look at this graph, you'll see that there's a lot more hits in a smaller time frame. So we're keeping the query in memory for less time, and that increases performance for the entire system.
But it also increases performance for the tenant that's
yes,
doing
it. Yes, absolutely,
right?
Because they're no longer issuing queries for every page load. It can really speed up performance. And this indicates, you know, our performance metrics went quite high. This is a pre-production SharePoint environment, so that's why there's no numbers. But it was a SharePoint-like environment. We don't test in production. That's not a good thing to do usually. But this was a page with five content search web parts. I think they were returning 10 results each. And you can see we had, you know, a quite high improvement. The team site is here because internally we use the team site for a lot of our performance metrics. And so if you're beating the team site, you're kind of golden. So that's really great that we're beating the team site. There are a few limitations of the system. Probably the first one is it's not quite on yet. We're in the middle of rolling it out. We're running in SPO production right now, but it's just flatted for ourselves. In the next month, hopefully less, we'll get it to all you guys as well. Speaking of which, you must use Active Directory groups, not SharePoint groups. I already mentioned that. We don't support deny-ACLs.
So what's a deny-ACL?
Yeah, a deny-ACL is when, for example, I want to share a bunch of documents, but I don't want you to see this document because maybe it's sensitive to you. We're talking about your career goals from an external, and we don't want you to see this document.
Okay.
SharePoint doesn't use a lot of deny-ACLs, so it's not too big of a problem. I think we searched in our MSIT tenant, and we didn't find any deny-ACLs. But if you do have deny-ACLs, we don't return the content. And that's because we don't want to redo all the security trimming when a user comes to the site. If they couldn't see that content, we'd have to redo all that security trimming. So we just don't return deny-ACLed content. Content must have been recrawled after February 24th. That's the time when we last rolled to our last farm in production. So if you have content that's older than February 24th that you'd like to show up, there's a re-index list or re-index document library button on the list settings page, and that'll force the crawler to recrawl it, and that preps the index, so to speak.
So do you want to tell the audience about what happened when we had our dry run the day after this?
Yeah, so production rolled, and we're testing, we're demoing in production, and we did a dry run, and I was testing it, and I wasn't getting any content. And I was like, what's going on? Do we have a bug? Do we have a bug? Helga was smart and actually read my slides and knew that we had to re-index the list. So we did that, and it started working again. It's just something to keep in mind. And we'll have blog posts that talk about how to roll this out for yourselves. Speaking of which, the output cache is another cache. Is anyone familiar with the output cache? Yeah, a few people. Output cache is an IIS feature at the web front end level, so it caches the entire page content. We don't cache query content, though. We force that to be asynchronous because search has its own ACLing model that the output cache doesn't support.
Does this mean I can use the new group cache with the output cache or not?
You can. The query will be asynchronous, but the query will still be cached. Hmm. So it's still saving you quite a bit of performance, which is great, but it's not coming down with the page. You do it asynchronously. So that's a little bit about the new group cache. Definitely look for it coming. There will be a big announcement. Maybe not such a big announcement. Codename Oslo is a big announcement.
This is going to be a small announcement.
Small announcement, yeah. So a few other best practices. I promised you I'd talk about the crawler. We use a mechanism called continuous crawl in SharePoint Online, and that picks up changes quickly to existing content we know is out there. So if you have an existing list or an existing document library and you modify documents, we try and pick that up as soon as possible. And then we run an incremental crawl on a slightly less frequent basis to pick up new content that we didn't know existed. So what's the delay about? Has anyone had a document that doesn't show up in search in SharePoint Online? Yeah, a few people. We should give you quick lunch to apologize.
Yep. Come and get some here afterwards. Yeah.
So what's the delay about? We're indexing so much content in SharePoint Online. I think Jeff Tepper said 60 terabytes, some huge amount of documents, right? And so it's been a struggle for us to scale out when you guys are throwing so much data at us. But I think we've gotten to the point now where we're in a much better situation. The other thing to note is that crawling is paused during these operational gestures like upgrades. So when we're rolling out new bits, we pause crawling. So is it going to get better? Fortunately, the crawling team let me share some numbers with you guys. We're now at 95% within 1 hour. So that means when you edit a document or create a new document, we actually get it into the index and it will start being served by search within 1 hour. I think we have two goals in the future. One is to make the percent higher, and then we also need to bump the number down from 1 hour to something smaller. But we're working on it. It's on top of mind for a lot of people. We know search-driven publishing relies on stuff getting into the index, and so it's super important for us to enable you guys to get your content into the index as soon as possible. Does anyone have a quick question about the crawler while we're here? Yes?
Do you have a plan to put a button like to do a full crawl? If you do a mapping of crawl property to manage property to like recall the content, you don't have to iterate the whole site and change whatever variable you have to make.
Yeah, so the question is, do we have a button or a mechanism so when you change a schema mapping to re-index the stuff? And we do, it's the re-index button, re-index list button.
Yeah, but then you have to do like all lists, but yeah, like.
I don't know about that. Do we have a global button?
No, we don't have a global button. Yeah. So we as far as I know, no, we don't have a plan to create one big button. Yes.
That's good feedback, though. I think I'll continue, and we'll have some time for comments. Thank you for the question, though. A little bit about display templates. There's a few sessions about creating and modifying display templates. From the product team's perspective, we really encourage you to copy over modify. And this is so we can upgrade your display templates. You can always get back to the out-of-box version by reverting to site definition if you have versioning enabled, which we do by default. But it's really nice for us to be able to upgrade you, and then you'll be able to see the differences side by side if you want to. Secondly, feel free to use our JavaScript functions. We know there's been a lot of confusion about what is this search.use stuff? You're using all these functions in your display templates. Can I use them? Should I use them? What's the best practice? Feel free to do that. We can't break our JavaScript functions because we'd break ourselves and cause ourselves a world of pain. So feel free to use them in exactly the same way we are. And we know there's a documentation gap, and we're working hard to address that. And then lastly, modifying the HTML is the preferred way of going about modifying a display template. If you're not familiar with a display template, it's really an HTML file that gets post-processed into a JavaScript file when you save it. And during that processing, we pull out some interesting metadata, like the title of the display template, which managed properties it would like to use, and so on. So it's really better if you modify the HTML file. A little bit about what a complex query is. This is from an internal site called Academy, which is sort of like the precursor to the video portal that's been introduced to you guys. And they had an interesting debugging performance problem where they were actually requesting 32 managed properties. And that's so expensive for us. It's a lot of JSON to send down over the wire. When in fact, they only needed really 7 managed properties. The title, the image, the author, the date, the view count, and then the time. There's a 7th one. Does anyone know the 7th for Quick Lunch? What's that? Popularity? No, not popularity. I already mentioned image. What? I already got image. Author? No, I got author.
Something that's needed to actually render this in a useful manner.
What happens when you click it? Link. Yes. Who said link? I don't know. Okay.
Well, then I'll give it to you.
So there is the link.
Oh, sorry.
So Once Academy reduced their managed property count from 32 to 7, they saw a big performance increase. So something to keep in mind, it's totally fine to go request a whole bunch of managed properties when you're debugging and you're trying out the schema. And you know, we know it's a little bit hard to make sure all the mappings and the values work. But when you get to your version and before you roll it out to your people, put a little bit of thought into how many managed properties you're getting.
Especially if you roll it out to 100,000 people.
Yes. Put a little bit of thought into it, yeah. So one of the things you can do to help address this is if you can't cache your query, if the query is a little bit expensive because you need a lot of managed properties, you can actually load the Content Search web part asynchronously. And what this does is it sends down the query definition to the client, to the browser, and then the browser executes the query using CSOM, and then we render it. This is very similar to how Yammer works, for example. You load the page and a bunch of stuff comes down, and then stuff starts popping in as it's loaded asynchronously. So we can actually show you that. And I think since we're going to Amsterdam, it'll actually make a very nice demo. So what I'm going to do is, because I'm going to, the news stuff is all cached, which is great, I'm going to go in and modify the popular and my stuff queries. Because they're not cached, they're going to come down a little bit slower. So we can make this page feel a little bit more responsive by doing this. Perhaps we can. Come on, SharePoint. So I'm going to go back into the Query Builder. Chug, chug. And on the settings page, we have this loading behavior. And I'm going to select asynchronous. I'm going to give this a save. I'm also going to do this for the My Stuff thing. And because this is slow, do you think I should tell my joke?
Yes, feel free to tell your joke.
My joke's as good as my haiku. Okay, so Helga, what's the only way an object-oriented programmer gets rich?
Oh, I don't know. Should we
inheritance.
Ask?
Who said inheritance? Yes.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, sorry, Vikram. Do you have a joke? Is your joke better than mine?
I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, so while Alex is doing that, anyone who knows why there are so many Java programmers using glasses?
Why?
Anyone? They can't see sharp. Exactly, they can't see sharp. Perfect. Who said that? Oh, you again. Wait.
The Contoso joke-telling class wasn't very good either, it turns out. So anyway, I've modified these pages. Yeah? Yeah, it works with all the browsers. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I've made the changes. Let's hit F5, and we'll see if popular and my stuff come in a little bit after the page. And you can see they may load a little bit slower, maybe. You can actually see this in F12, the F12 browser debugger, a lot better. But you can see they sort of pop in a bit later. So that's a little bit about loading behavior that you can use. And you can definitely mix and match based on your scenarios and whether data is cached or not. So we've built this really great website. We like to pimp our partners sometimes. So Brightstar worked with the Rugby Football Union and made this really great intranet site that's all search-driven, Yammer integration, etc. Do we have any Brightstar people? No? No one showed up. That's a bummer. We do really love, if you guys want to send us this stuff, we really do like to use it in presentations if you're going to let us. It's always fun to see what you guys produce. So finally, content by search or content by query? We get this question a lot. Which one is better? Which one do I use it for? Content search is really the way forward, we think. We're the search team, so of course we'd say that, right? But really, you know, you remove a lot of barriers. You can go across any site collection. You can use anything you can put in the index. You can reuse content. You're in HTML5, JavaScript, CSS, so you're not in this XSLT world. I once tried to write an XSLT thing, and I couldn't do it. That was a bad class at Contoso as well. Multiple client types, and then we have analytics. And I think you'll see this coming with Codename Oslo and the Office Graph, where we can do some of these really rich queries. And the content query web part really can't do that. It can go against a list or maybe a couple lists, but it's only in a site collection. What it really excels at is that instant latency. So there's no indexing, there's no crawling. So when you make a change to a list item or a document, you see that change immediately. Search-driven publishing and the content search web part, there is that indexing latency drawback. There's also a really great blog post that goes into these bullet points plus more. Just search for that on Bing and you'll find it. So
we'll get questions in a few seconds.
Yep. So to wrap up, we've talked about what search-driven publishing is. I know it's been like a whirlwind of stuff. This is a very big area that we shipped for on-prem last release, and there's a whole bunch of content out there. There's a bunch of really great blog posts. If you have access to the SBC 12 sessions, you can go watch those. And then we're also reusing a lot of this stuff in the sessions this week. I talked about the content search web part, display templates, search schema, and a little bit about how these features differ in SPO versus the on-prem environments. We also introduced the new group cache, and we talked a little bit about best practices for display templates and the right way to do things in SPO. Speaking of links, here's the big four, we would say. Bella's number one blog post up here, search-driven publishing in SPO, goes into a lot of the content that we've been talking about. Bella actually works with us in FAST, so she sits literally right next to the engineers who wrote this stuff, which is great. So feel free to go look at these. You can find them in Bing very easily, so you don't need to memorize the URLs. And then there's some really great related sessions. If you're interested in this performance type stuff, there's a great session about designing your pages to be fast, specifically in the SharePoint Online environment. So this talks about how we configure our web front ends, the caching we use, how we access the content database, things like that. So check that out if you're interested. And then there's also a huge amount of search sessions. A lot of these go into details that we didn't talk about cross-site publishing and query rules and display templates. And in fact, this display templates and query rules session should be pretty good if you're interested about, you know, really making these beautiful search-driven published web pages. And of course, we'll be at Ask the Experts tomorrow night. Helga and I are also at the booth downstairs in the expo event for sites and portals and search. And of course, we have a huge number of search experts down there as well. So feel free to find one of us. If you can't find us there, I'll probably be at the blackjack table. So come find me, and we'll gamble together. It'll be fun. And I think at this point, we should open up for questions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So can we make a line, maybe? That'd be awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so quick question. Just about every client that we've had as of late is asking for one pretty specific item, and that is the ability to publish information across the farm, basically, or across any site collection, and aggregate that information up into, say, a landing page or some other corporate communications page with audience targeting, so that they can compile an audience, say, EMEA users or whatever, and then have that information be surfaced just for that target audience. Now, at that point, that's where we have a very uncomfortable conversation and tell them you can't really have that with search, so you have to go content query web part.
Yeah, can I actually have you talk to Josh right here? Josh is the PM who worked on that stuff, and I think he can provide a lot more insight than Helga and I can.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's chat. I'm sorry I can't answer your question, but Josh can. Josh can help you. Yeah.
Would it be appropriate to use this content search web part to do an automated subsite navigation? Like, you know, I have like a, you know, I make a new site every time I have a project, and then I have to go and add it to manually to a list so people can navigate to it. Could you use this for site navigation?
I think that's a managed navigation scenario where you can create a term set and you can have all your projects be a term and then you can do that. And that's all available in SharePoint Online.
Okay.
Check out managed navigation on Bing.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
You talked a bit about this year's uptime or crawl times for search. Last year there was a couple of issues that I've heard about in blog posts and things like that. Have those issues been fixed by adding these new crawl servers? And that's no longer an issue for the most part except for upgrades?
You want to take that?
So the question was whether we have fixed issues with crawling since
things taking over an hour up to one blog post, even set up to like a day or something. I don't know if they're just exaggerating, but.
Yeah, so we have worked really hard to improve our procedures when it comes to crawling. There have been a couple of challenges. One, as Alex mentioned before, is the extreme growth of content. People have been getting putting their SkyDrive Pro content in at extreme paces. So just keeping up with new content has been a challenge, and we have changed the topology in the farms to have more content processing nodes to have a higher capacity. And in addition, we have made a lot of changes to the operational procedures we have, because we roll changes into SharePoint Online regularly. And when we do that, as Alex also mentioned, we have to put the crawl in a read-only state. So we just stop the crawl while we're actually updating the bits. And that used to take several hours, and now it takes less than an hour. So we are continuously making changes, both on capacity and on upgrade read-only periods. So we definitely hope we won't be seeing lots of those blog postings saying, hey, where's my content? Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks.
The group cache, is that available for on-prem as well?
That's a great question.
If it is the cache expiry configurable? Cache expiry, is that configurable or will be?
Yeah, so we haven't shipped it for on-prem. I think you may have got this from Jeff Tepper's talks. You know, we are a cloud-first organization now, and so everything we do is sort of aimed at the cloud first.
Right. We
hope that the feature proves successful in the cloud and that we're able to move it to the on-prem environment. We don't have a plan for how we're going to ship that or when that's going to happen yet. That's one of those later things. But yeah, we see it totally useful in the on-prem environment.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is sort of a small cosmetic thing, but is there a way to just do a custom no results message when you get your results without dipping into XSLT or the display template? I might have missed it on there.
That's an interesting question. I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
I don't know.
Cool. Consider it a request if you could.
Yeah.
You come to the Ask the Expert session tomorrow, we can try to have an answer for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Is the content enrichment web service available online, SharePoint Online?
Mm.
So pipeline extensibility stages, CWS, the new.
I do not know. Do you know?
Just recently, it was only on-prem still, but I don't know if that's changed yet.
I don't think it is. I'll have to check that for you as well. It's really not.
Yeah, so it's not our area, sort of.
Ask the Experts would be a good forum for that.
Yeah. Absolutely. We have one of the PMs from the content processing team here, so she'll be able to answer that question in no time for you.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks.
When remapping a crawl property to a managed property, what was the open managed property you mentioned again?
Sorry, could you repeat the...
You mentioned that you could map a crawl property to a open managed property, and you had some open ones. What was the one that you'd mentioned?
Oh, yeah. So what are the names of those available managed properties? What you can actually do is you can go into search schema, and you can look for things that don't have any mappings to them. Because you see for all the managed properties, you see for each of them which one that have a mapping. The ones I mentioned, they're called refinable string, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 2, 0, 3. There are also others, and there is actually an article, I think it's on TechNet, which lists all those available managed properties out of the box, explaining their type and what they should be used for. I'm sure you'll find it if you just bing for like unused managed properties.
And if we had a need to sort on title in a search result, is that what we would do, or is there another process?
So if you need to sort on title, then you obviously need a title to be sortable. What you could do is you can take look at the crawl properties that are mapped to the existing title. You can take those same crawl properties and map to refinable string 0, 1, for example, and then you change your display templates to use that as the title instead, and then you can sort on it.
Thanks.
Sure. Hopefully a quick question. On the content query web part, you used to have this great little feature you still do, is for including children of a term store value. Is that possible through the search web part as well, to say with children, without children, if you're querying against a term store value?
I have no idea.
I couldn't hear the question.
He wants to use the content query web part or the content search web part to get children of a term store.
Oh, right. So basically, you're going to do navigation based on a term and then find the children. Yeah, so you can, if you use the feature called Manage Navigation, that's compatible with the content search web part as well.
Okay.
So that works.
Okay.
Yep.
But do you also want them displayed?
But also in terms
results?
Of the content. So if you were to say something's tagged as a child item and you want that content to surface as well, like if you tied to a certain, say, geography, you know, in terms of a region, and then you have countries underneath it. And you select the region, you want to see all the documents that are tied to the countries below that as well.
Oh, I see. So you want to query for its parent.
Yes.
In all the,
and all the children. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's actually what the refinement web part, the taxonomy refinement web part, is about.
Yeah.
And that's not something that's available online yet, but it was on the later, later roadmap. So
but it's on. It's on prem.
Yes, yeah. It's on prem. Yep.
There is term with children.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Great. Okay.
One more.
One more question, and then we're done.
Are there any?
We'll be outside, guys, if you want to talk to us more.
Talk to you out there, then.
Okay, cool. Let's do that. Thank you.
Thanks.